Good morning. In this series of Lenten vigil services, we're reflecting on big things that are barely there. That is, we're reflecting on the things that tend to determine our sense of security and well-being, our sense of identity. Really, we see while we're called to acknowledge the reality of these things, we're invited to see these things through Christ's eyes. And as we see these things through Christ's eyes, we see they have no substance. That is, we see they can't be found anywhere in God. Nor can they be found in who God sees us to be. And in seeing the unsubstantiality of these things, we see that their very nothingness is God's presence in our life. And last time we reflected on condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this morning I'd like to reflect on our tendency to live in shallow water. By shallow water, I mean our awareness of how we tend to be so unaware of the depth and beauty and gift of our life. How we tend to get so caught up in the momentum of the day's events. And in the intensity of that momentum, we live in the shallow water of the unawareness of the gift of our life. And we tend to attribute importance to this habituated shallowness. That is, we make a big thing out of our shallowness. That is, our shallowness is very deep to us in that we can't get past our own shallowness. So we can become that deep person we're trying to be. I'd like to reflect on this. I would say first, and kind of getting at this, is that we know the water we tend to live in is shallow because of the moments where it gets suddenly deep. And relatively speaking, the depth of those moments reveals the shallowness of the moments we tend to live in. For example, imagine a couple getting ready to have their first child. And they're really into this, and they're planning on this, and they're getting the house ready, they're getting themselves ready. There are a lot of things go on. But when the moment actually comes, when the birth begins, the blood and the water, the screams and the tears, there is no way to get ready for that. Because God or the universe, the woman realizes, is using her body, see, to perpetuate the ancient gift of the newness of life. And she is not in charge. Nor can she comprehend what is happening to her. Yet although she cannot comprehend it, it is happening to her. And afterwards, when she's holding the infant, she cannot find words for the love that wells up in her heart. She had no way to know. There's no way to be ready for that, really. And then she knows, we might say, she might not put it this way, that God is the infinity of birth. And birth is the concrete immediacy of God. And to be in the presence of birth is to be in the presence of God. And that gratitude, that immense gratitude slips away. And she returns to the shallow water of her concerns and her frustrations with her child, with her spouse with each other. Life goes on. But the awareness of that deep water echoes in her heart and touches her. I want to go to the other end of life. Someone you love very, very, very much you sense that their death is near. And maybe the two of you talk about it together. You get ready for it. You know that life is like this, and mortality, and no one's exempt, and all of that. But when death comes, the death of the beloved, there is no way to get ready for that. There is just no words for the bigness of that. What happens when the universe is no longer big enough for the beloved, and the beloved moves on? There's no words for the empty place that's left, really. And as the person grieves and goes through all of that messy, painful stuff, and they visit the cemetery and they put the flowers down and they sit on a bench there for a while, how mysterious it is that in their love for the person and the person's love for them, that when they died, they carried your heart over with them to the other side. And now the boundary between birth and death is somehow much more mysterious than it used to be. And it echoes in your heart. You return to the shallow water of the day by day. But there is that remembrance in your heart. Now, we might say then that it's really true that we do live in the shallow water. And we know we're in shallow water because of how we tend to get so reactive to things. You know, it's amazing how distraught we get over the bigness, the imagined bigness of little things, all shallow water, really. You'd never guess it to watch us. And we long to go deeper. See, why can't I live in a more daily abiding awareness of the depths that I know for myself is true? Because I know it in birth, God is the infinity of birth. And I know it in death, that God is the infinity of death. And to be in the presence of death is to be in the presence of God. And birth and death live in me. And my life is precious to me. I think we all know this experience. We all know this experience. And then we attribute bigness to the tenacity of our shallowness, how we can't get past the pettiness of ourselves. And so we come to a Lenten vigil service hoping this will help, see? Get us past the stuck place into more habituated depth. You would think this would count for something. Seriously, the chances are the day will roll on, really, and here it will be. So I would like to suggest this. See, the idolatry of shallowness. Notice how, as shallow as we might be, how during the day, all the little moments of renewed love for someone, and the depth of love finds no obstacle in the shallowness to well up in our heart with renewed gratitude for this person in our life. Notice that when things go wrong and we feel very badly about something that we did or we failed to do, notice the sincerity of repentance, our sorrow that we did this to hurt this person, how deep it is. And how it finds no obstacle to well up in our heart. And when we forgive the person, notice how deep forgiveness is. And forgiveness finds no obstacle to the shallowness in which we tend to live. And therefore, we start to see that somehow this distinction between shallowness and depth is not as locked in as we imagine. And that maybe there's the idolatry of shallowness. And that maybe the depth of God permeates through and through and through and through the preciousness of our ordinary self. See? That Christ reveals in the incarnation that God is not in love with who you're trying to be. See, God's not saying, you know, I'm really still counting on you. Getting significantly deeper. So you'll be someone worthy for me to pour the infinity of my love into. God says, I am pouring the infinity of my love into how deeply beautiful you are in your daily unawareness. And so this really, I think, is Lent for us. See? That what we can do is we can choose to cultivate this habitual awareness of how deeply loved we are. How deep our shallowness is. Because we are precious in our shallowness. And the depth of God is wholly present as our shallowness. God is the infinity of your shallowness. You're not trying to get past your shallowness. You're trying to realize how precious you are in the inability to be more than you are. And this is meditation practice, I would think. We're going to sit here for 30 minutes. We're going to sit here for 30 minutes. And it's personal. It's personal. And so for the 30 minutes, you might what? Think of someone in your life you love. Think of someone in your life you love. And for 30 minutes, part of the silence would be to sit and cherish how God is the infinity of the preciousness of that person in your life. Think of something in your life now that is a source of sorrow to you. Like a loss, like the hurting edges of something. And sit with that. How God is the infinity of your sorrow and is deeply present to you as precious in it. Sit like this. Sit like this. Because this is really the essence of the matter. See? The great sorrow. Am I lovable enough yet? Am I lovable enough yet? Am I deep enough yet? And all the while, what's so unmanageably precious is not who we're trying to be. It's the cutting edge of the sincerity with which we are who we simply are. And I'll share a little story about myself. You know, let's put it this way. I noticed this chair is very close to the edge of this stair. And I'm a little afraid of falling when I get up because, let's say, my legs aren't what they used to be. Now, my wife suggests I use a cane to be sure that I don't fall down the stairs. So we had this discussion. I said, I'm not going to use a cane to go down. I'm not going to do it. You should use a cane because if you fall on those stairs. So you'll notice I did not use my cane. Now if I fall, you'll all know she was right. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. Who can measure the preciousness of myself and my tendency not to want to come to terms of what's happening to me? Because God, what if God is the infinity of growing older? And what if growing older is the concrete immediacy of God? And what if my very struggle to come to terms with that is the holiness of my life? Not trying to be more than that, but rolling with it concretely. And therefore, I would suggest to you that during the day we can all practice this. If you're sitting around the table with the family or with a family member, pause for a minute. Like take a little hiatus for a minute and take the backward step to appreciate how precious this ordinary moment is. How deep it is, how abyss-like it is. Who can name it what it is? If you get up in the middle of the night, before you just go back to sleep again, lie there in the dark. On who can measure the depth and the mystery of God concretized in you lying awake in the middle of the night? And so with everything throughout the day, that little pause for the recognition of the infinity of the ordinariness of ourselves. It seems to me that this is Christ consciousness. It seems to me there's a Eucharistic quality to the preciousness of ourself and our fragility. I invite you all to stand. Be seated. I want you to fold your hands and bow. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be.
Thank you so much for listening to this Lenten series podcast. You may now pause this recording if you'd like to sit and meditate for the next 30 minutes or so. If not, continue listening on, and you will now hear the homily given this morning at the daily Mass. Thank you.
Your love and your
only Jim Finley at 5:30 in the morning could get away with saying the depth of our shallowness. I love that. I just think that's a great line for this Lent to continue in our great journey. I was thinking a lot about that, actually, because I'm going out to Holy Spirit Retreat Center today to give a morning of prayer. And I was reflecting on the little friend or companion who I had forgotten about, Henry Nouwen. Henry, in the year 1990, decided to go to Lourdes to make a retreat during the Lenten time. And he had these great plans for a decade, right at the beginning of the 90s, and what this decade would become for him. And in the experience of Lourdes, he came to remember the words of Mother Teresa, that his writing, his preaching, his teaching should be simple, because that's what people hunger for. And it's in the simplicity of that that we come to a depth and realization of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We come to an appreciation of the love of Christ in a very personal way. We come to a knowledge of Christ in a way that that oftentimes it feels and seems so distant from us. Well, he literally lived for 6 years in that decade and then died. He didn't finish all of his great work, all of his great thinking. He didn't finish the decade that he had spent so much time preparing and thinking about and reflecting on. And yet, they keep publishing books from Henry. So many years after his death, new books come out. That's amazing for me. They find notes, I guess, things tucked away and things that he wrote but were never published. And so here we are with new things all the time. But it strikes me that I don't think we have to go to Lourdes to find it. But our Lord is saying to us today, we're given a grace. We're given a moment. We're given this grace, this moment, and we should not postpone it. We should not say, well, tomorrow or the next day or next year, or we don't know. We have no idea. Jim was talking today about his cane and his age, but you know, I look at folks and I oftentimes think that we think we're going to live forever. We're not. There's an end to all of this. And the grace of the moment, the gift of this moment, the time that this Lent provides for us, it seems to me, is so very important. Greater than Jonah is here. We, like the Ninevites, hear God's word. And we have a choice. With a humble and contrite heart, we have a choice. We have a choice to accept it and embrace it and take the gift of this moment. Or we can go our stubborn, merry way. And so I think, thank you, Jim. It was a great prayer for me this morning. And I hope for all of us in this early hour. And I hope that this Lent will continue to be a wonderful, grace-filled opportunity to once again come to a nearness and closeness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is with us. He is next to you. He is by your side. He is ever present. I hope we feel the glimmer, the moments of that this day. Please stand.